tetaplah jiwaku.
Percayaan a mesmerizing getaway, a holy sanctuary. Fading culture. Sublimely sacred. Yet also excitingly profane. The ultimate paradise. A luxurious escapade. Here you have some of the hippest spots on the planet. Release your inhibitions for an adventure of a lifetime. Whether you fancy the beach or golf, just love food served exotically. Or adrenaline rushes. Enjoy oases of tranquility. Where pampering is art perfected. Mysteriously festive. Tourism with its own history. Branded hospitality. The ultimate travel destination and more. Bali. Wonderful. Indonesia.
Voice listener and viewer, tomorrow on the 15th of February, reminded as the World Cancer for Kids Day. So, voice listener, right now we have a special interview with one of the mothers whose child has had cancer before, and a cancer fighter, as you can say that. Right now, I'm here with Ibu Arinta. Hello, how are you? Oh yeah, hello, how are you, Ibu Arinta?
No, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so how are you right now, and can you tell us a bit about the story of your child who had cancer before?
Right, so I'm going to start with like a few weeks before the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So it all happened when I noticed my daughter, and she started to walk differently than normal. I mean, she used to be very active, and she loves to run around and play with her scooter, and then it just suddenly happened that she became a bit like she didn't want to go out to the garden to play, and yeah, but you know, because she was 2.5 years old, that time. You know, she didn't exactly express how she was feeling. Like, she never mentioned that she was, oh, you know, I'm hurt, or, you know, it's painful. So, you know, as a parent, I thought she was a bit tired that time, because we also had come home from a very long holiday, so I thought, oh, she's probably tired, she doesn't want to go out and play. And then after a week had passed, I noticed there was nothing had changed. I mean, she was still, you know, she didn't walk like a normal kid. I probably the word would be like, she walked slowly, like she was afraid, she was even afraid to walk. And sometimes, like, when she get up from her nap, she would cry. Like, she normally she wouldn't cry when she wakes up from her nap and in the morning. And so she would cry when she wakes up. And so that was the first couple of symptoms. But there was no sign, there were no signs of like fever or, I'm sorry, like a cough or, you know, other sort of illness, other kind of illnesses that, occur in little children. But then there were, and then after 2 weeks, she started to drop, her condition started to drop, kind of severely. And, so I noticed that she was rather pale, and she, started holding onto things when she wanted to walk. So that's when I was like, okay, we gotta bring her to the emergency unit at the nearest hospital. So we drove to the nearest hospital in our neighborhood, and she went straight to the emergency unit. They took her blood samples, and an hour after that, they said, her blood results, you know, are off the charts, you know, her hemoglobin level is quite low, but I mean, she was so stable that we need to have a blood transfusion by then. I mean, she was still stable, and then her leukocytes are also off the charts, her thrombocytes, a thrombocyte is the criteria that helps people decide whether or not she is healthy. So if a person has a low thrombocyte, usually they would be more like vulnerable to illnesses. So yeah, after they declared, you know, her blood results are off the charts. She's got to stay at the hospital. So, okay, they put my daughter in a hospital room for, like, observation. And we waited for the pediatric doctor to come in the next day. So that was it. And the next day, the pediatric doctor came in. They, you know, asked me a lot of questions, like, what are the symptoms, and where is the pain, like, why does she not want to walk?
Okay.
They did it, yeah.
Okay, so speaking of her experience before, her mm-hmm. daughter, right now, we also have our special guest, that is Dr. Endang Widyastuti. She is a member of the Indonesian Pediatric Society, administrator of the Indonesian Cancer Foundation. How are you, Bu Endang? Oh, yeah. Can you unmute your...
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. So, speaking from Ibu Arianta experience, in Indonesia, What type of cancer does the children usually suffers in general? And what is the cause for young children to have cancer in the early age?
Okay. Thank you for the questions. Hi, Ibu Renu. I heard about the story. Yeah, almost like that. So in Indonesia, almost in the, I think same with other countries, the most cancer in children is acute leukemia. In Indonesia, almost around 20 to 30%, followed by the retinoblastoma and lymphoma, also and that's the osteosarcoma, the cancer of the bone. And the pattern, the first pattern that most in the country is acute leukemia. So that's same, but the second and the third is different between the low-income country than compared to the high-income country. So according to WHO, an estimated per year is there is 4,000 children develop the cancer. Mm. How about in our country, in Indonesia? Last year, we collect from the 12 hospitals that face with the cancer in children, we only have 6,623.
6,623.
Last year we have registered from the 12 hospitals in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. I think that is a very small number. Mm-hmm. So there is some problem why they don't come to the hospital or they don't come to the medical facilities. Mm-hmm. If you ask about the cause, is it right?
Yes.
Yeah. So until now, there is no, or the etiology of the cancer in children mm-hmm. is unknown.
So just
the mutation. Yeah.
Ah.
So the genetic is only 10 to 20%.
Hmm.
And some studies show that the lifestyle or environmental factors is only small.
Mm-hmm.
So still don't know. We don't know how exactly what is cause.
Mm-hmm.
But usually we ask about the paternity, the, is there the parent or father or mother or there is a grandma, is there any cancer?
Mm-hmm.
We only have the data that there's important data because maybe there are mutations in the early life of the children or several days or several months after the children born.
Okay. So from what I heard, the cancer suddenly appears from the mutation usually at the young age, right?
Right.
And for the parent, Bu Arianta, how did you and your family, I mean, manage to gather and then find help? And at what time do you think that it is the most important thing that you need to do when you found out that your child had cancer?
Okay, so when the pediatric doctor, she said to me that I think there is a chance that this could be acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
Mm.
But she said she was hoping for a silver lining because she said, I think I might be wrong because she wasn't a subspecialist at the time. So they transferred us to another hospital that had a pediatric surgeon who subspecializes in hematology, who could, you know, who can take care of my daughter. And so I just held on to that kind of like probably 10% hope that this would not be acute lymphoblastic leukemia. But by that time, I had already been researching. I was Googling all the time about acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or ALL, and I noticed that there were that is the probably top kind of cancer that occurs in children, and in children there are mostly two types, the B cell and the T cell type leukemia.
Oh yeah, before you continue, I'm sorry, can you tell us about what did your daughter cancer is?
So my daughter was diagnosed with ALL. ALL, L2, B cell.
D cell, okay.
T cell, yeah.
T cell.
Sorry, how old did your child when diagnosed?
My daughter was 3. Was just turned 3 when she was diagnosed.
Okay. And for Ibu Endang, can you tell, is there any difference on how to treat children and adult in treating cancer? Is there any difference in what methods that the doctors do? Because children and adults have different body immune system. So is there any difference that the cures given to the children that is more effective than adults?
Generally the same. The difference is the type of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
ALL in children is the most leukemia acute.
Mm.
80% from the acute leukemia. In adults, different. The myeloblastic, AML, most important. Oh. In children, ALL is mostly curable because it's very chemosensitive.
Mm.
But not in adults. So generally, almost the same. Chemotherapy, the radiation, or surgical.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same. For leukemia, we only have two. Chemotherapy and then radiation if needed.
Mm-hmm.
But the type is different. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I would like to ask Bu Arinda, how is the condition of your daughter right now after being treated and after being treated through the session of healing for the cancer treatment?
So it's been about 4 months since my daughter was first diagnosed. So she has been going back and forth to the hospital to do chemotherapy, and the chemotherapy sessions include being injected by IV fluid.
Oh, IV fluid.
Yeah. And then another one would be, so they inject medication into her bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
So she, because she's a child, she's sedated, so she wouldn't have to feel the pain. And then she takes oral medication every day at home. And she's been getting better, thankfully. After every session of chemotherapy. So my advice to anyone, any parents who's experiencing this, there's always a silver lining if you make sure you attend the chemotherapy sessions, because it will get better every day.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bu Arinda. And for Bu Endang, any advice that you can give for the mothers and for family whose children are having cancer? Is there anything that you want to add that will help the parents and maybe the children who are suffering from cancer?
Yeah, of course. The role of the role of the parent is very important. Mm-hmm. One child suffers from cancer, the whole family suffered from all the panic and sometimes understandable that my child previously is healthy, mm-hmm. and then so change all the habit or it's very difficult. So as a pediatrician, we not only face the patient, but we also face the parents. So it's very difficult, but I think Ibu Ranjinta already have received and the patient get better and better, I hope, because not only chemotherapy and treatment, but the supportive therapy. Mm-hmm. The surrounding of the family should be solid for these children. And also the children have a life playing, going to school or something like that. It's disappear. So we have to create the playing, maybe in the room, in the home, on one or two family with a similar age to play together. Like that. So chemotherapy for ILL is long-term treatment. Mm-hmm. Just follow the doctors.
Yes.
Okay, I think that.
Okay, thank you so much, Bu Endang and Bu Arinta, for coming to this special interview, and I hope the best for your daughter, Bu Arinta, and hope that she will get better soon, and of course, will be as active as she was before. Okay, thank you so much, Boy Listener, and RR Inetvir, for accompanying me in this special interview with Bu Endang and Bu Arinta, and always make sure to watch over our children and seek help if needed. Don't be discouraged and always make sure that your health is your number one priority and also your children's. And thank you so much for a listener and RRNetVir, and I'll be right back after this.
But if you say two, I'm counting to three and I'm coming for you. And if you run, I know you like games. Don't you be shy, cause I'm coming your way. All you haters, you can say what you wanna. I'll rise higher when you say my name. I don't care about the rumors or drama. I'ma be fine, baby, I'm okay. Flying by the haters when I cry, I go boom, boom, boom. Sending you a message when I'm right. I put my middle finger up, I flip it up, I flip it up. I put my middle finger up, I flip it up, I flip it up. I go of my way. I've been rocking since day one. I know I'm not insane. Baby, I'm not high, so don't you waste my time, cause all you haters can hate me now, but I'm never gonna change.
Flying by the haters when I cry, I go boom, boom, boom. Sending you a message when I rise. I put my middle finger up, I flip it up, I flip it up. I put my middle finger up, I flip it up, I flip it up. I go la-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-da. I put my middle finger up, I flip it up, I flip it up, I flip it up.
legendary landscape of the largest crater lake in the world thrives a glorious civilization in North Sumatra. People live colorful lives. And nature continues to fascinate both the locals and visitors from all walks of life. A delightful escape. With a sense of adventure. In the hidden paradise of Sumatra, experience the awesome nature . Understand the connection to ancient cultures, like dancing for ancestors, a colorful tradition, joyful yet also potent. Mystifying rituals. Proud people of the mountains. At the coast and in the cities. Remarkable diversity. A bustling city. A multicultural Mecca. Peaceful harmony. Incredible culinary. Astonishing wood carving. This is North Sumatra. The land. Also the people. Friendly faces and genuine warmth. Wonderful Indonesia.
My friends, for example, if I ask them where you guys want to having a holiday domestic, I think people still say Bali for now. Bali, Bandung, Jogja. And I think some of them also never knew that in other provinces in Indonesia, they have many beautiful places. I think maybe they don't recognize, or I think they don't know about the place before.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it needs more attention.
It's more spotlight.
More spotlight, yeah.
Trips keep tripping, grass keeps falling, but you'll never let it go you. The sun keeps shining, the rain keeps falling, the world keeps spinning around and round. No words can for the tape that's grown so strong. I can deny for the light they show me. Oh,
people keep talking when the world keeps doubting you. Just remember you're beautiful. Don't ever let it fool you. Listen to your heart and your soul, and not losing control. Don't ever lose yourself.
Pacific Ocean. Ancient culture. A world of wonders. Mysterious and magical. The life of a tribe in sync with nature. West Papua's archipelago, extremely rich sea life, adorned with emeralds of islands, sprawling protected in front of the coast. The richest marine biodiversity in the world. Home to majestic phantoms of the ocean. Thank you. friendliest of people. In life at its best. This is life in an amazing setting. Where Macarena greets guests. An amazing sea adventure. The best of fish. And travel in style and comfort. Here, the ancient is always only a short trip away, always reminding us. Life is beautiful. Amazing cultures and lovely sea. West Papua. Wonderful.
Terima kasih.
Ya, itu sebenarnya tradisi minum tehnya orang Sunda.
Nyanit is actually the tea drinking tradition of the Sundanese people. It originally developed by the communities around Mount Jukurai. The name comes from the Sundanese word nyanditkeun, which means to bring closer. So, through tea drinking, we can strengthen the bonds of togetherness among us.
That was the explanation of nyanit, a tea ritual from the Sundanese land, which Dasep Waikusalam is striving to preserve. In the Nyanya tradition, the tea used comes from local plantations. It is brewed in the traditional way, using water sourced from springs around Mount Chikurai. Before boiling, prayers are recited over the water. The dried tea leaves are then added and left to steep for a while until the tea is ready to serve. When the tea is served in a teapot, the atmosphere must remain calm.
Ayo orangnya nih.
The glass of tea is rotated twice, clockwise, over the palm of the hand. Then, the aroma of the tea is inhaled 3 times. This is followed by sipping the tea 4 times gradually.
Jadi ada 4 seruputan.
So in the ritual, there are 4 sips of tea. The first sip is just to let the tea touch the tip of the tongue. The tea is still between warm and hot. We don't drink it all at once. And the second sip, let the tea reach the middle of the tongue. At the third sip, let the tea reach the back of the tongue. And at the 4 sips, hold the tea for 3 seconds before you swallow it.
Yang keempat, pangkal lidah ditahan 3 detik baru diminum. Nah.
The Sundanese old tradition is considered a medium for spreading religious teachings. It is said that Sunan Gunung Jati also used the Nyanya tradition as a way to propagate Islam. Moreover, every step of this tradition carries its own profound meaning.
Nah, jadi, dua itu.
So, the ritual is actually meaningful. Rotating the glass twice symbolizes that life revolves around 2 things. Day and night, male and female, and others. Life is always about pairs. Inhaling the aroma 3 times signifies that our intention works. And action should always be good and pure. The meaning of the 4 sips is that within us, from we were born until we die, there are 4 elements that always accompany us: water, earth, air, and fire. These 4 elements will always be with us, providing goodness in line with what we see.
Memberikan kebaikan-kebaikan juga beriringan dengan apa yang kita inginkan.
This tradition, which has begun to fade even among the Sundanese people themselves.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRINN.
Here is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Economics said on an unified land data essential for investor confidence. OJK educates thousands of North Sulawesi students on investment literacy. And now the news in details. The first news, an economist emphasized the importance of a unified land data system to maintain investor confidence in Indonesia. Clear and integrated land information can reduce legal uncertainties and improve the investment climate. This approach is expected to enhance transparency and accelerate economic growth. The second news, the Financial Service Authority provided investment education to thousands of university students in North Sulawesi. The initiative aims to increase financial literacy and prevent students from falling into fraudulent investment schemes. OJK hopes this program will encourage responsible and informed investment decisions among young people. And that was Newsline.
Nothing is for real.